In a news update for August the 12th, 2022, on this Friday early morning edition, part four, continuing on with the Alex Jones Show being hosted by Owen Schwarter and friends. And of course, we're broadcasting on the Sirius XM network and also on the terrestrial satellite networks. And we're also beaming across to you on all podcasting mediums where you can find our content simply by typing in the search bar top headlines, national and international news stories. That's how you write it, folks. And just add us to the favorite tab or just follow us. And simply, when the new episodes curated in your queue, you can simply just listen to them at your leisure. Let's get back to the show, folks. Please share the tabs. Please tell people about us. And please support us. Try to make a financial donation if you're able to. And tell people more about our great podcast found on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, Anchor.fm, and many more. And Pocket Cast app too as well, and also my cast app and more. Let's get to the show, folks. Let's show them what freedom is by educating people so they're not scared to be in fear by a government that's trying to ever infringe on your rights and freedoms. But yet we stand in unison together, civify together as soldiers for freedom and patriots and being peaceful in the process while we do it. Let's get going here.
Trying to smoke out a mole or a rat he had inside of his team. It's really odd because still to this day, the topic is so radioactive, nobody wants to touch it. The Republicans, Trump still haven't done a press conference. Christopher Wray had a press conference yesterday discussing something else. Somebody brought it up. He basically balked at the question. Mitch McConnell's not interested in commenting. Kevin McCarthy sends out a couple nice tweets. That's it. So this thing is so radioactive, nobody wants to touch it. And the fact that the feds don't even want to make a statement makes me think maybe there is something there that they got set up. Maybe there is something there that they fell into a trap and that they've been severely embarrassed here. Because how can they not have a press conference on this? I mean, this is one of the biggest things. And we all know that their goal is to destroy Trump. So why wouldn't they be wanting to brag about what they've done and to demonize Trump further with the activities unless it was a total bust for them? Unless it was a total swing and a miss for them? And we're learning more about what they took. A cocktail napkin, a birthday menu, some letters, some memos, some maps, but really nothing consequential. Nothing that they claimed they were looking for, like classified records. So, again, were they set up? Was Trump smoking out a rat? Was there a rat that thought he had something, but it wasn't there? Why is nobody commenting right now?
Yeah, that's really strange.
But see, we can't trust the FBI. We can't trust the FBI at all. At all. And any FBI agent that isn't totally corrupt needs to be leaving the Bureau or turning into a whistleblower like dozens have. But so, even though Chris Wray didn't want to talk about the raid at Mar-a-Lago yesterday when he did a brief press conference at the Omaha offices of the FBI, he did victimize himself. He did turn the FBI into a victim. FBI Director Chris Wray won't discuss raid on Trump's Florida residence, but says he is concerned about threats against agents. Oh, so the FBI can threaten the American people all day long, but the poor, poor FBI is the victim. The poor FBI is the victim, yes. Of course they are. But then what happens today? Story developing right now. At the FBI office in Cincinnati, someone apparently fired shots and tried to break into the Bureau. So, oh, what do you know? Christopher Wray doesn't want to talk about the raid, but he does say, I'm worried about threats to the FBI is what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the FBI. We're the heroes here and the victims. And then 12 hours later, someone goes and tries to shoot up the Cincinnati FBI building. Now, I don't Initial reports is nobody's been shot. I don't think anybody's been killed or anything like that. But, oh, it's the FBI. They can spy on us. They can lie to us. They can set us up. They can frame us. They can raid a former president's home in a political persecution attack. But they're the victims. And then the next day, oh, look, we got a shooter at the FBI in Cincinnati. Now, see, this is a very delicate balancing act that we're in right now. Because really, the standard, I think, in human history has actually changed. We are, in some ways, or we like to believe, at least, that we as humanity are more civilized now than we've ever been before. And I think you could make arguments either way. But as far as being domesticated and really having certain primal survival instincts just beaten out of us and chemically castrated out of us, we're more civilized, or rather domesticated, in that regard. So why am I saying this? Well, you don't have to go back too long in human history where if you had a free people or a republic like you have here in America, and you just had an abusive, authoritarian, tyrannical regime that was persecuting people, imprisoning people, destroying their lives, killing people, I mean, you'd probably already be seeing violence consistently and groups forming and skirmishes and a lot of bloodshed in the streets. And we're not getting that. And I'm glad, because we don't support that. Because I do want to think that we're more civilized. I do want to think that we've advanced as a species. Not that being domesticated is an advancement or evolution, but that transcending the need or the urge to engage in violence to accomplish a means to an end. But so, is the FBI a terrorist organization? Is the FBI an anti-American organization? Is the FBI a criminal operation? Yes, yes, and yes. Abso-frickin-lutely. Now, does that mean the average FBI agent needs to be under gunfire from civilians? Absolutely not. But see, I'm not going to sit here and let the FBI turn itself into the victim. Hell no. The FBI is the bad guy. The FBI are the criminals. So that's why, and I'm glad for the most part I've seen it, not everywhere, actually, some conservatives, some right-wing commentators, I won't say are advocating for violence, but they're echoing the hymns of Andrew Breitbart, the late great Andrew Breitbart. Hey, you want to try to destroy our lives? You want to come after our families? You want to come after our fortunes? You want to come after our freedom? War. But see, you started the war, didn't you? You started the war when you started politically persecuting people. You started the war when you started politically imprisoning people. You started the war when you tried to false flag your political opposition, like Jussie Smollett, or like the kidnapping of Gretchen Whitmer. You are committing acts of war, not Trump supporters, not conservatives, not Republicans, Democrats, liberals, leftists, progressives. You are the violent agitators. You are the violent actors. You are the ones trying to start a war, and you're the ones trying to cry victim. So that's why we have to be smart and patient here, and it's not going to be good, folks. Democrats, liberals, leftists, the regime, the establishment, the government, they're going to kill people. They're going to imprison people. It's going to get real bad. But I believe our path to victory is to sit back, let them do this, let them exhaust themselves, let them show the world that they're the evil people, so that when the time comes, we can politically, peacefully, legally, lawfully remove them from power and imprison the criminals that belong in prison. So, armed gunman tries to break into the bureau at FBI in Cincinnati, and they'll certainly use this to demonize Trump supporters. They'll certainly use this to demonize conservatives. They'll certainly use this to turn the FBI into the victim here, as they're engaged in more criminal activity, terrorist activity, than they've ever been involved in modern American history. And now they're trying to be the victims. Would you put it past the FBI. I mean, who knows what they've got out there with MK Ultra going on? Maybe they've got people brainwashed. But would you put it past the FBI or this regime to send some stooge to the FBI office with a gun to try to victimize the FBI as its approval rating goes into the negatives? I wouldn't. So, you know, watching the Democrats and the FBI try to turn themselves into the victims after all the things they've done to this country in the last 5 years, and specifically, though, after the raid of Mar-a-Lago, total corruption, stealing the election, the censorship, all of it. Watching them try to turn themselves into the victims, it's really a work of art. I mean, I give them credit, actually. I'm stunned. I'm in awe. I'm in awe of it. Eric Swalwell claiming he's the victim. He's publishing death threat voicemails he claims that he's getting. Again, well, I don't trust Eric Swalwell. He's a known liar. I bet that Eric Swalwell's faking it. Just like Jussie Smollett fakes a hate crime. Just like the FBI fakes a kidnapping of a governor. Just like Democrats lie and fake everything. Oh, how convenient now Democrats publish voicemails they get of death threats. Oh, how convenient now the FBI has a gunman show up at their Cincinnati office. Oh, yes. But see, here's the thing. There is karma in the universe, and there are consequences for actions, but you know, there's going to be people that are going to see those voicemails of death threats to Swalwell, whether they're real or not, or see gunmen going into the FBI, whether it's legitimate or not, and they're going to say, good. They're going to say, good. This is what the Democrats deserve. This is what the feds deserve. Now, you're not going to get that messaging here. We're not violent revolutionaries, never have been, never are going to be. I'm not going to fall into that trap because I believe, similar to January 6th, the raid or an angle to it is they want to trap conservatives and Republicans and Trump supporters into violence so that they can further politically persecute them and imprison them. I've learned that lesson. I got set up on January 6th. I didn't even do anything, and they're still persecuting me over it, and I've been imprisoned over it, destroying my life over it. So I've already fallen into the trap without even stepping foot in the trap. I didn't even step foot in the trap. I just happened to be there when the trap was there set, catching people, and so they just said, well, we're just going to get you too. So I've already been caught in the trap that I didn't even step in. So I recognize it, I see it, I'm not going to fall into it again. The Democrats want us to call for violence, the Democrats want us to engage in violence so that they can send the corrupt Gestapo federal government after us to continue the persecution of Trump supporters. So I'm not going to fall into that trap. But I will say, there's a weird aspect to this where it's almost like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's almost like if they did come in here and shut InfoWars down tomorrow, even though it would be an awful thing for America, it'd be a horrible thing for free speech, it'd be a horrible thing for the crew members here. It's almost like now is the time that they would do it. In a way, it'd be like the greatest thing they could ever do. Because it's like this whole thing is such a minefield right now. And we've already had so many limbs and arms, and we've been so battle-scarred and wounded. I mean, folks, that's why you hear Alex so many times talking about it'd be a relief to shut it down, kind of sarcastically, tongue-in-cheek saying. Because we've entered the paradigm now where it's not InfoWars next year's news today. It's now everyone's InfoWars. Now everybody sees what's going on. And we've been through it so much that we're not going to fall into their traps. But at the same time, there is going to be organic anger. There is going to be organic frustration and resentment and hatred, quite frankly, to the Democrat Party and to the federal government, which they deserve. They absolutely deserve. But I don't want to fall into the trap that they're setting for us like January 6th. I want to stay the course. I want to continue to awaken hearts and minds. and I want to continue to influence and inspire other people to do the same and run for office and vote and organize and activate so that we can peacefully, politically take our country back and restore it as the constitutional republic that it is. That's our goal. That's our path. I want to stick to it and not be distracted. But just know, the feds are going to set up false flags, absolutely. The Democrats are going to set up false flags, absolutely. And they are looking to 100% entrap conservatives, entrap Republicans, and entrap Trump supporters into violence. Absolutely. That's what they're trying to do. That's why Swalwell's sharing his voicemails. That's why the feds are talking about the gunman going into the Cincinnati FBI office. I would say that it's fake, personally, but I don't know that. It could organically be a gunman going into the FBI office that's sick and tired of the FBI corruption. It could organically be an American citizen calling up Eric Swalwell, calling him a effing piece of S, because he is. But we cannot fall into their trap, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot give them what they want. So we have to stay focused on the goal, stay focused in the right mindset, know what they're trying to do to us, understand the trap they're trying to set, know they're going to stage false flags, know they're going to try to bait us into violence. We cannot do it. Even if you believe it's justified, and I understand where you're coming from, even if you believe that, it's still a trap. It's still a trap. Now, meanwhile, and this is what's really so frustrating about it, too. American cities are dying. They are dying. They are just bleeding out. And our leadership doesn't give a damn because they're too busy going after Trump and his voters. So Trump pleads the fifth in questioning from the New York Attorney General, Letitia James. It's obviously all political persecution. There's nothing there. They can't even get prosecutors to take up the case, folks. They can't even get liberal prosecutors in New York to take up the case because there is no case. I mean, there's not even a breadcrumb for them to satisfy their hunger. So American cities are dying. And then you got Democrat bastards like Ed Markey, who goes in front of cameras this morning and says, if you can't afford gas, buy an electric car. They can't afford an electric car, you a-hole. They live paycheck to paycheck. They can barely afford a tank of gas, and you're telling them to... See, and that's organic anger that I have right now, because I don't like seeing American cities pummeled into poverty and pummeled into desolation and pummeled into violent crime because of Democrat Party policy and a World Economic Forum agenda. That angers me. That ticks me off. That breaks my heart. And then I have to look at these bastards like Eric Swalwell and Ed Markey puff up their chest like they're the victims and puff up their chest like they want to help this country as they're stabbing us in the back every chance they get. And then every city Democrats runs turn into a hellhole. Every American city run by Democrats turns into an absolute hellhole. And they're still going to tell you, we're going to get Trump. We're going to get those Trump supporters. Meanwhile, you look at the cities they run, they are falling apart. But hey, guys, as Trump is being politically persecuted, as you're being politically persecuted, as Democrats are rounding up political prisoners and murdering people, Joe and Hunter Biden are flying off to another vacation. So Joe Biden takes 20 days off a month. Joe Biden goes on vacation to his beachfront mansion every weekend. And now, after taking 20 days off last month, he hops on an airplane with the entire family on Air Force One to go on vacation with Hunter Biden. Now, is Hunter Biden's child going to go that he had with the stripper? No, he doesn't make child payments to that mother that he abandoned and that child that he abandoned. They don't get invited to the family events. And also, it turns out when Nancy Pelosi went to Taiwan to inflate her own ego in her final run as a congresswoman, she took her son there too, you know, to engage in a little insider trading, make sure they know that their stocks purchases are going well. They want to know what's really going on with China and the the microchip companies. So she flew her son over there with her too, and she just says, oh, he was just my escort. These people are so corrupt, it's unbelievable. But folks, we just gotta pray. We gotta stay focused on the agenda, stay focused on the mission. Do not let them distract us. Do not let them bait us into violence. Do not let them false flag us into submission. That's what they're in the process of doing right now. So, Alex Jones coming up in the next hour, ladies and gentlemen. You can get a signed copy of Alex Jones' new book, The Great Reset and the War for the World. He's going to sign thousands of these.
There's a lot of controversy around this book about Alex Jones, for example.
Owes $50 million, all for his lies about Sandy Hook. And while we've been reporting that story from its inception, tonight we dig into how this is actually a larger warning for other liars and conspiracy theorists in our society and our politics. It's a rebuke and a punishment that we believe, according to a lot of legal experts, will set this new precedent.
A jury in the Alex Jones trial ordering the conspiracy theorists to pay $45.2 million.
Have you reached a verdict?
Tonight, a Texas jury punishing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones for his lies, ordering him to pay $45.2 million.
Jones is basically paying the penalty, being held financially liable for the lies about that massacre, which go along with a whole wider profit approach to lies.
I ask that with your verdict, you not only take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away, I ask that you make certain he can't rebuild the platform. Take him out. He is patient zero for alternative facts.
Now, what does this mean?
Illegal limits and punishment for other individuals who make
lying and conspiracy theories part of their business model or politics. We've seen this all the way up to the insurrection as a huge part of American life. Well, Fox News is clearly watching this closely. They are facing this suit by Dominion Voting Systems for over $1 billion about false perceptions and what they say is deliberate lying that could basically bankrupt that whole company, given Fox's huge megaphone.
We're talking about the reckless promotion of lies with malice. And that's what Jones does. The cases prove this. It's been proven over and over again, not just from Sandy Hook, but with 9/11, trutherism, and everything else. And so I think if you're in that line of work, you have to watch your back now, because this jury has sent a signal that we're not going to allow First Amendment rights to protect the promotion of reckless disinformation and propaganda.
He lied to make his money, and he's lying to keep his money.
Right now, we see Dominion not just suing Fox. Dominion Voting is suing OAN. It's suing Newsmax. It's suing Rudy Giuliani. It's suing the Pillow Guy. It's suing Sidney Powell. You'd have to be really worried, because they were, in essence, doing the same thing.
Back now with some breaking news involving Fox News and $1.5 billion lawsuit.
Dominion Voting Systems is suing Fox News for $1.6 billion over the new agency's claims it rigged the 2020 election. The defamation lawsuit accuses Fox News of fabricating the story in an attempt to boost ratings.
It is the latest win for defamation lawsuits against MAGA Media's role in pushing conspiracy theories. That same judge upheld Dominion's lawsuit against Newsmax last week.
I think there's even a bigger issue here than you raised in the introduction, and that is we've seen conspiracism take deep root within the Republican Party and the conservative movement over the last 5, 10, 15 years. Alex Jones helped put it there. He wasn't the only one who did this. Trump did it with birtherism. So the whole conspiracy theory industry has sort of subsumed the Republican Party and the conservative movement. And now we're seeing out of this one jury in Austin, Texas, that they're saying, hey, we're going to try to put some guardrails up and put some brakes on this. And I think that has ramifications for a lot of people other than Alex Jones.
As for those text messages, Rolling Stone reports the January 6th committee is now planning to subpoena them as it looks into Jones's role in the Capitol attack.
Us right now. I'm extremely proud of you. I'm extremely proud of this crew because we learned the mistake from January 6th not to fall into the deep state trap of violence when they try to provoke us. And so after the raid of Mar-a-Lago, we've been voices of reason, voices of peace. And now today, you have all the Democrats and all the left-wing media saying, Republicans want violence. We need new January 6th committees. We need new subpoenas of all Trump supporters. We beat them to it, Alex. We came on air and we immediately said, we cannot fall into their traps. We cannot call for violence. We need to stay peaceful, stay political, stay on message, stay on point. And so now all of this puffing up of their chest, claiming Republicans want violence, is going to fall on deaf ears because we didn't fall for their trap this time, Alex.
Well, Alan, that's exactly the reason I'm here with you today. I'm taking care of some family issues. I'll be back with you and some other special guest host tomorrow that I'll be hosting Sunday. 4 to 6 p.m. live and Monday as well. But you're here today doing a fantastic job. As you know, Mike Adams is coming up with some huge breaking news, but I had not talked to you today while I was traveling to visit some family that I needed to see. And I was planning to come on, do some reading the news and say, look, they're trying to monitor us into a physical war. That's clearly their plan. We need to stop it. As we said on Monday, as we said on Tuesday, as we said on Wednesday, and so exactly what we said on that Monday night emergency broadcast, it's an hour and 18 minutes long, would be that they would try to goad us into violence or claim we're going to engage in violence, and then they stage the false flag or they provocateur or something. So you are dead on, and we are tomorrow's news today yet again. We don't say that to brag. Once you know the enemy mindset, once you know how they operate, very, very easy to beat them once you understand they only have a few plays that they run. And so here we are on the precipice with 89 days out from the midterms. The whole world, not just Americans, are waking up to the new world order. And we've got to be asking ourselves, what are they going to pull next? They're obviously trying to provocateur something violent against the FBI or against the Justice Department. They're trying to push their Jan 6 narrative. The polls show 90% of Americans think the Jan 6th committee is a fraud. And so it's just not working. The larger question is, with 89 days out from midterms, what are they going to pull next? That's why I've said, I believe the deep state may kill Biden, which we're totally against happening, as a pretext to really try to trigger a civil war and or Trump. But they might actually kill both of them. And you even have Bernard Keurig saying that, former police commissioner, a newer, very respected, very serious man. Steve Bannon agreed with me a few days ago on the show. On Tuesday, that's a major, major threat that we're facing. And so this is a big, big deal. So I have a clip ready from Bannon on the show a few days ago where he talks about this threat and also the Bernard Keurig clip to understand just how desperate the deep state is and what the few plays they have left in their hand of cards. Here's that clip.
I do not think it's beyond this administrative state and their deep state apparatus to actually try to work on the assassination of President Trump. I think everything's on the table. I think his security ought to be at the highest it's ever been. And honestly, I think he ought to, and I think he should have flown down to Mar-a-Lago this morning, walked out there at noon today and said, hey, I'm running for President of the United States, suck on that.
If you remember back in 2016, when right before he got elected, I was in Washington, D.C. I was at a couple different social events, and I heard people talking. They said the Democrats want this guy so bad that they wouldn't put assassination behind it. And I'm going to tell you something. They've tried impeachment. They've tried another impeachment. They've tried one investigation after another. This is about one thing. This is about stopping him from running in 2024. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not into conspiracies. I'm not into anti-government rhetoric. This is the first time in my lifetime that I would say I am deathly afraid for Donald Trump. I would not put assassination behind these people.
All right, so Owen, we're not tooting our horn here. We're not that smart. We know the enemy blueprint. We're trying to get everybody else to realize we have the enemy blueprint so they can learn about it and we can stop it together. I've been saying for the last, as you know, 6 months that they're going to assassinate Biden, the deep state. They're going to try to assassinate Trump. And now they're saying, oh, the Iranians are around Mar-a-Lago. They're planning to kill him. Yeah, right. Oh, the Russians are going to kill him. All this other garbage. Because they think if they kill Trump, they can get the American people to rise up and be violent, which is the last thing we want. If they kill Trump like they killed Martin Luther King or Malcolm X, and yes, I'm comparing him to those people, if they definitely a rebel, if they do that, we do not need to riot. We do not need to kill people. We do not need to attack FBI buildings. We need to expose that the deep state did it. They'll probably have some crazy left winger do it or some disaffected right winger do it and blame the people. Same thing with Biden, all the white supremacists or some loon do it. They just killed Abe because it turns out he's a Christian closet right winger. That's how all the Japanese news, the Japanese cabinet just resigned because they're really Zen Buddhist. On average, and it's pretty freaky for them to learn that their prime minister, the Japanese president, was a closet right-wing Christian, which we can all look at and tell what's going on. So they just purged the government because they're right-wing Christians and found out they are. So that's what's happening is there's our conspiracy of right-wing Christians, the one of human future and God, and there's a satanic conspiracy. And so this highly trained individual with this handmade, but incredibly well-made, so they couldn't trace it back to who gave it to him, 12-gauge shotgun, 2 direct hits on a 10-inch shotgun. For those that don't know, the 10-inch shotgun at over 40 feet, more than 40 feet, is just an incredible shot. That was an assassination of a pro-America leader, and China's definitely involved, and it's the same thing happening here in America. So I believe, and I know from all their pre-programming, the national security stick they've set up, they want to kick off a left-wing, right-wing civil war. The left-wing will lose, the right-wing will lose, the Bilderberg group, the Davos group, the destabilizers will win. And so now my predictions months ago, 6 months ago, of the assassination plan on Trump and Biden is starting to crystallize. Because if you look at the enemy battle plan, that's one of the main cards they could pull. Mass shootings that they provide to our stage, mass bombings, power outages, claiming the Russians hacked the power grid. All this is pre-programmed. We're being told it's imminent and it's about to happen because the Jeffrey Epstein, Mossad, British intelligence, globalist combine that's above the countries, it's like Spectre. The heads of our intelligence agencies are Spectre. And then the agencies don't know they work for Spectre. But the New World Order in Moscow is Spectre, literally. That's why Ian Fleming wrote those books. He was number 2 at OSS and MI6 explaining how this really worked. And so Spectre's real. Hydra's real. Its actual symbol is a Hydra. That's why in James Bond, it's a Hydra they're fighting. And they're making their move right now, but they're exposed and they're extremely desperate. That's why Media Matters and the New York Times, the Washington Post are all panicking. But the entirety, basically, of right-wing leadership and real patriots have signaled to America they're pro-America and censorship by coming out endorsing InfoWars in just the last few weeks with this show trial because they know they're next. So it is now officially recognized that InfoWars is the narrative of America and populism countering the globalists. And I don't get the credit for that. The crew and the audience of activists supporting us and God gets the credit. I'm incredibly humbled and blown away to be in this position. They see us as the top general, our operation. They see us as the quarterback, and that's a great responsibility. That's why I need your prayers to stand up for us. I need your prayers to spiritually give us discernment and back us because we've been given an incredible task here and an incredible weight. But I take it on willingly. But I want to just thank the audience of activists for this
because now America and the world's not being caught flat-footed by the New World Order. We are in a fighting position politically, spiritually, culturally to understand what's happening, but discretion will be the greater part of valor and not getting tricked into a violent civil war, which is what they want. If that happens, we'll win that too. But the point is, that's not my job. I lead the awakening, not any type of military operation. I'm not involved in that because those can go so wrong. But culturally, we're winning, and that's why they want to overturn the chessboard with violence on it.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent,
right,
call the legal helpline.
Gentlemen, we're back here on the Alex Jones Show. Alex Jones with us from the road. Owen Troyer in studio. It's an honor and a privilege to be with you here today. There are three things happening right now that I believe, Alex, are an indicator as to where we're going next. One, you have the New York Times with the top promoted live stream on Twitter right now with the headline, Alex Jones isn't alone. Why is disinformation so appealing? Well, what does that signify? They're coming for everyone next. They feel like they've got Alex Jones. They haven't. They may strike him down. They may strike InfoWars down. We'll just be more powerful than ever. But so that just tells you, okay, they feel like we've got Alex. Now we're going after the rest of them, just like with censorship. That's happening right now. You've got Twitter that just released a statement saying, starting today, we'll begin to enforce the civic integrity policy in context of the 2022 midterm. So Democrats are planning on stealing the midterms. I mean, that's what that means. And then big tech is going to be there to make sure nobody calls it out. And then the third thing happening, Alex, there is an armed standoff, a gunman at the FBI office in Cincinnati. So he could be organic. He could be a federal provocateur, just false flagging it. I don't know. But I'll say this, Alex, there could be 100 gunmen outside the FBI. Whether it's false flag provocateurs or organic, that does not justify the FBI's existence. We cannot let the FBI victimize themselves into 100 more years of corruption in this country. I'm not for violence. We're not calling for violence. The FBI needs to be shut down, whether there's no gunmen or 1,000 gunmen outside their offices.
Well, that's right. Most third world countries and other great nations as well have fallen when they have federal police forces that decide to take over. And federal police forces always decide to take over. Usually within 50 years of being created, I'm surprised the FBI has been around like 100 years. They're just now getting around to taking over. But they've got political bosses that are doing it. So yeah, we're becoming Venezuela. And absolutely, they said in my kangaroo trial last week on national television, they said, our job is to silence him and everybody else like him. Well, that's what this is. They're doing it openly. They see it's like a Roman standard that they want to capture. And then once they've done that, they believe all the other dominoes will fall. That's why it's so exciting to see so much of the libertarian, conservative, nationalist, populist leadership getting behind InfoWars, understanding what's happening. But again, listeners keep asking me, on the street, at the airport, are you going off air? $49 million, how are you going to pay it? There's a cap in Texas at $5+ million. And they got two more suits. They'll get the cap on those. That's the good news. The bad news is I don't have $2 million cash myself or in the company. And so we'll have to post bonds for the appeals. And we are out of money. And we're in a bankruptcy. So we can file a federal court and show all this. They can stop lying and saying, I have $280 million or whatever their latest BS is. So this is an incredible moment to be alive. That's why we will stay on air if listeners support us. And I had no idea that we offered the book side. The books are coming in next week, but we ship it out the week after that, late August. The Great Reset and the War for the World, that this could save us. I had no idea. I thought people buy the unsigned book 5-1. They're buying 3-1 the signed book instead of the regular unsigned for $24. I said, well, let's have a fundraiser. Let's charge $49 for the signed book. Unbelievably, we've had 7,000 orders
of
signed, and I'm going to sign these. I think I can sign like 6-7 a minute. We're going to do this. We're going to videotape like a marathon of me trying to do this. But I'll sign 50,000 books and it saves us. At $100, you make about $86 on each book. And for credit card fees, we make about $82. If we sell 20,000 books, that's a couple million dollars. That will push us over the edge. Plus, it'll push the book to number one. It's already in the top 10 on Amazon. So when we sell books on Amazon, we get a couple bucks to fund things. But when we sell the book with this Save InfoWars Markup Fund, which is a fundraiser, it's just, you know, some PBS sells a coffee cup for $50. Another coffee mug, coffee cup costs $5. But you're getting a coffee mug, you know, you kept PBS on the air, a bunch of you want to do it. They get taxpayer money on top of it, we don't. But that's how they get over any budgetary problems they have, is, oh, get a t-shirt for $100, get a coffee cup for $50, get this book for $200, get this set of books for $300, and become a platinum member, $1,000 for PBS. Well, the commies know how to fund what they're doing. Do you know how to do that? And I'm not patronizing, it's up to you, and you've been coming through. We're selling, I'm kind of scared of this because I'm going to sign them all. We're selling right now 600, 700 books a day. 20,000 again get delivered next week. At current rates, we'll sell 15,000 signed books, 5,000 unsigned. And that literally puts us to pay through the bankruptcy, pay through these next two trials. People saw I had limited two lawyers. People go, well, my God, the other side had like 15 lawyers. Well, you know, lawyers who put on a case cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And people say, well, why don't you have more people? Because, folks, we're maxed out. I have literally spit myself down to almost nothing. I'm not complaining. I trust in God. I trust in you. If folks want to make donations at infowars.com/crypto, that whoever did that months ago with a big donation saved us so far. Small donations have saved us as well. Infowars.com/crypto. But go to infowarsstore.com and get a historic signed book and know whatever happens to InfoWars, you fought the critical time of the Republic to save it. And Mineral Fusion's back in stock.
We'll be right back. Support
Really kind of just sitting in my consciousness for the last couple weeks. We are the nonconformists. I mean, that's what this really is. We're the nonconformists. We have an audience of nonconformists. We're not going to conform to a corrupted, rot gut culture. And that's why they hate us, Alex, because we are not conformists. The establishment wants conformists.
That's it. All these leftists posing at the Atlantic and the New York Times like they're rebels and they're cool, they're fighting, you know, Dr. Evil. They're fighting Lex Luthor. No, they work for Lex Luthor. They work for Klaus Schwab, literal Nazi villain. They work for the evil. They have all the power behind them. They have all the banks. They have all the media. They have all the censorship. They're launching the wars. They're promoting.
So many people over the years
we'll be right back.
Have walked up to me randomly on the street.
Fox News last night commenting on the Mar-a-Lago raid. He had this to say.
Trust so much the government that we've gotten to the point where, for example, do I know that the boxes of material they took from Mar-a-Lago, that they won't put things in those boxes to entrap him? How do we know? Their lawyers weren't allowed to see the boxes go. They weren't categorized.
That's going to be a problem.
Thousands of documents were taken. Yeah. How do we know that they're going to be honest with us about what's actually in the boxes? How do we know that was in the box before it left the residence if the lawyers weren't allowed to see everything? So, you know, they've lost a great deal of trust, and it's...
Now, luckily, the security cameras were still on at Mar-a-Lago, so potentially some, if not all, of the activity will be on camera. But when they're pilfering through Melania Trump's wardrobe, you know, maybe going in there, giving it the old panty sniff, these perverts at the Fed, at the FBI, I don't know if it'll all be on camera, but at least some of it will be. And thank God for Rand Paul. And thank God for the others that have been willing to tell the truth about what this raid at Mar-a-Lago is. It's a political witch hunt. It's political persecution. It's all about the midterms. It's all about stopping Donald Trump and anyone after him from running for office, running for president. It's about scuttling and silencing and censoring and chilling free speech in this country for anybody that might stand up against the corrupt Democrat regime. And they're showing their hand right now. The mask is off. They've accepted their role as the bad guy. They've embraced their role as the bad guys. And they love it. They love it. And somewhere clanking around in their empty skulls is this idea that they're saving the planet from man-made climate change. But that's just the excuse that they bring forward when they want to enslave you. Oh, man-made climate change, we got to enslave you. But see, as I said in the last segment, folks, they're showing us their hand. We've got their hand. New York Times today saying we've got to censor everybody else off the internet, just like we got rid of Alex Jones. Twitter saying we're going to be monitoring any election claims during the midterms from here on out. So basically, anybody that says anything Democrats don't like on Twitter about midterm elections is going to be removed from Twitter's platform. No comment from Elon Musk on this yet. Might be interesting to see if he provides commentary.
Would be interesting.
And then you had the situation at the FBI office today with a gunman out there apparently firing a nail gun at agents. So, you know, it might be organic, deranged individual out there. Sick and tired of the corruption in our government. I'm not advocating for violence, but I'm not going to let the FBI become the victim in all of this. Whether there's one gunman outside the FBI, or whether there's 100, or whether there's 1,000, or whether there's 100,000, the FBI are not the victims. The FBI is a corrupt criminal bureaucracy that needs to be disbanded and shut down permanently. Are there good people in the FBI? Yeah.
Yeah, there are.
But I don't understand how you can be a good guy inside the FBI anymore. I don't know how you could still clock in and clock out every day, or be rank and file every day in the FBI and look yourself in the eye every night and know, and know you are working for one of the most corrupt institutions in American history. But see, I get it. Everybody needs a paycheck. Everybody's got to be a slave. So, oh, well, you know, I can't quit because I got to make money. I got bills to pay. Well, all right. But just know you are working for maybe the most corrupt institution in American history. And certainly right now, just in the focus for everybody calling out government corruption. But we can't let the FBI turn themselves into victims. Certainly that's what they're trying to do right now, whether this gunman is organic or a false flag plant provocateur. The FBI are not the victims. Now, innocent people getting hurt at the FBI, we don't want that. But you're working for a criminal enterprise, you're working for a corrupt enterprise, and you're just not going to be the victim. You're not going to be the victim here. You're the bad guy. You can try to pose as the victim, and I expect that to come. But they set this self up. They set this whole thing up when Merrick Garland refused to comment on the raid at Mar-a-Lago, except to say, this is turning the FBI into victims. We're now facing threats of violence. Well, let's see. I mean, the FBI threatens Americans with violence every day. The FBI stages events and lies to Americans every day. See, that's what it comes down to. The government is allowed to lie to you. You're not allowed to lie to the government. The government's allowed to run false flag operations, violent operations. You're not. Completely backwards from where it's supposed to be. Now, you have to be alarmed at what's going on in the IRS. They're hiring 87,000 new agents. And remember, these Democrats are the ones that want to defund the police. They're trying to backtrack on that. It's hilarious. I mean, there's just hours and hours of footage of Democrats saying they want to defund the police, not to mention all the rallies, all the riots, all the looting, all the burning, murder, attacks on police officers. They loved all of it. They promoted all of it. And then they realize, well, this isn't really helping us politically. Let's say that the Republicans wanted to defund the police. So that's the ultimate level of Democrat Party politics, is just lie as big as you possibly can, even if the whole world knows it's a lie. But think about this danger where the Democrats want to defund the police, which for the most part, the police are the good guys. They're in local jurisdictions. They have some form of a relationship with the communities that they're policing. At least, you know, long-term officers or you know, commissioners or sheriffs and stuff like that. There's a relationship in that community. There's an understanding there. There's a local community aspect to that. So it's a lot harder for that to get corrupted, and it's a lot harder to cover up that corruption. Not that it doesn't go on. And you know, it's funny too, you know, all the leftists that are anti-police, all cops are bad. And then they also, you know, say, hey, police plant evidence on people all the time too. Sure they do. But oh, they won't mention anything about the FBI. They won't mention anything about the Mar-a-Lago raid because they think they're part of the team now. And so, see, that's what it's all about. Why does the FBI or why does the U.S. military put out Black Lives Matter statements or pro-Antifa statements or pro-sex change statements? Because that's them waving the flag that, hey, we've been conquered by you. We're your team now. So they got to get rid of the local police that have a relationship with the community and are a lot easier to have oversight and manage. And they want to defund and disarm you and make sure you don't have security. And then they want to hire 90,000 IRS agents and they put on their job listing that they're going to be carrying firearms and willing and able to use deadly force. I mean, if you don't see where that's going, then you really have no foresight at all. Defund and disarm police that are the actual connection with law enforcement to local communities, and then replace them with a soulless, faceless, disconnected bureaucratic operation that has no loyalty, respect, or connection to local communities, that will just come in, run roughshod, shoot you, take your money and leave, and then you'll have no idea what happened, no idea who did it, no means of oversight, no means of justice. And if you don't see how that's obviously their plan here, then you might be a liberal. Because that's clearly the plan. And that's what Barack Obama talked about. Federalize the police. This is it, folks. They're federalizing the police. They're turning the big, powerful intelligence agencies into Democrat weapons against the people. And then they're going to remove the local law enforcement and replace it with federal police forces that you'll have no over...
Life can...
Justification for the raid at Mar-a-Lago, which tells you there's something more to that story, and we're not getting it. And I've kind of theorized as to what might be going on with that earlier in the transmission, but just the radioactive nature of that story and the fact that nobody's willing really to address it publicly tells me that there's something underlying there that only few people know. So I would say that Donald Trump probably knows something and a few people in his inner circle and or the FBI know something or a few people at the FBI know something. And nobody wants to let the cat out of the bag right now. Somebody thinks they have the upper hand or somebody's waiting for some leverage before they make their next move. But everybody's staying neutral on this. I mean, it's like if you're watching an epic chess match, nobody's touched their pieces in days. And that just shows you, whatever that last move was, like, whoa, that last move was so mind-blowing, nobody wants to even touch the board now. So what is it? Was this just a total swing and a miss by the FBI? Did they think they had something there and didn't find it? Was it all for optics and then it totally backfired? Did Trump set a trap for the feds? Did Trump set a trap for a mole? Did he smoke a mole out in his own team? The lack of a move since the raid tells me there is something there that we just don't know yet. Because I don't know how you have that biggest story. I mean, as far as impact is concerned, as far as real world people's lives impact is concerned, it's not that big of a story, but this goes well beyond that. I mean, I would say the January 6th prisoners that are being tortured by Democrats in jail cells right now, political prisoners, I would say that that's much worse of a situation on its face than the Mar-a-Lago raid. But the Mar-a-Lago raid is so big and has so much gravity and so much implication that it probably is the biggest story in this midterm election news cycle. And nobody wants to get out ahead of it now. Nobody wants to steer the narrative into the next direction. This whole thing is a knuckleball, folks. But for the American people, any rational American person that's just not a total brainwashed leftist libtard knows that what happened at Mar-a-Lago is just further proof of the political persecution against Donald Trump, further proof that there is a deep state, and further proof that our government is gone completely rogue. Completely rogue, and is no longer serving the interest of we the people. That is what's going on. And then you've got the liberal left. California University hosts segregate orientation. Yeah, you've got all these major universities now where they have graduations for black students and Hispanic students and white students, segregating the students, the reverse of Martin Luther King's dream. Of course, it's liberals that go the opposite way. Liberals are the ideology of regression, not progression, regression. So they're regressing back to their roots of bigotry and discrimination
and racism
at universities. They're also turning any classroom that has children in it and is run by a liberal teacher into sexual grooming centers. And then they have their therapists and their counselors go on social media and post videos saying we need to be standing up for pedophiles, and they say minor attracted people are the most discriminated against people in the world. Oh, really? Adults that rape children are discriminated against? I'd say that's a good thing.
I do too.
I think if you're a child abuser, you need to suffer severely. And I think if you're a pedophile child rapist, you need to be eliminated. No more sense in having you with us on this planet. If you're out there raping children, if you're out there as a pedophile, grooming or raping children, it's time for you to suffer severe consequences. But they're so emboldened now. They're so emboldened now that they've gotten away with so much sexual grooming of children, so much child abuse of children. They're going for everything, folks. They want the right to have sex with children. That's what this is all about. They want the right to have sex with children. And you know what? It kind of just hit me, actually. And I've never really heard this before, but it just hit me like a bolt of lightning right in my head right now. Are all of these people really pedophiles?
Come on.
Are all these individuals that are sexually grooming children and doing this stuff to children actually pedophiles?
I said that on my podcast.
There are certainly pedophiles out there. I mean, Joe Biden has certainly exhibited pedophilic behavior on dozens, if not hundreds, of occasions. But are all these people really pedophiles? Why would they be pushing to groom children? Or why would they have this desire to have sex with children? I think it just hit me, folks.
They're all pedophiles.
They can't find a single consenting adult that wants to get anywhere near them. And so they know the only shot they have is a brainwasher child.
That's it.
Still pedophilia. But I don't know why that just hit me right now as I'm about to go to this video. Because I just noticed it's like all these people that are promoting pedophilia as minor attracted persons' sexual orientation, they're all disgusting fuglies, and that's it. They know that they're never going to find a consenting sexual partner or have a loving relationship because they're fallen souls, because they're demons. So they know the only chance they have is to groom children to have sex with them. My God. You liberals are sick. So here's an example. This is a sex therapist and counselor who says pedophiles should not be called pedophiles, but minor attracted persons as a sexual orientation, and it's the most discriminated against group in America. Yeah, I would say pedophiles should be discriminated against, but liberals who are promoting pedophilia because they want to engage in sexual acts with children are trying to say it's minor attracted person sexual orientation, and they openly say it on the internet, like in this video.
use she, her pronouns, and I'm a licensed professional counselor and sex therapist in Erie, Pennsylvania. And today I want to talk about minor attracted persons.
Pedophiles.
And
pedophiles.
I want to talk about minor attracted persons.
Pedophiles.
They are probably the most vilified population of folks in our culture.
Good.
And most folks are making incorrect assumptions about them without actually knowing much about them. And those assumptions create harm for an already marginalized population.
There should be.
You may have noticed that I'm using the term minor attracted persons, sometimes abbreviated to MAPS, instead of the more commonly used